Welcome to Conversations on Cancer, brought to you by the Riverside Cancer Institute, providing answers, debunking myths, and sharing patient stories.
Hi, this is Dr. Austin Basha. Welcome back to our podcast, The C Word, Community, Not Cancer. Today, we actually have two guests with us today, Mr. and Mrs. O'Farrell. Ms. O'Farrell has been gracious enough to talk about her cancer journey, which actually involves multiple stops, and we'll talk her way through that. And Mr. O'Farrell is her major support, and so he's agreed to be part of the podcast as well, and he's got his own story as well. So welcome to both of you.
Thank you very much, Doctor.
So Ms. O'Farrell is currently being cared for, actually both are being cared for by my partner, Dr. Lasher, and Ms. O'Farrell is currently under treatment, I believe on maintenance right now, for lung cancer. But this is not your first journey with cancer.
No, sir, it's not. It's not. I started younger with cancer and bladder cancer in 1997. Mm-hmm. That was very difficult. The first time you hear that word, it's startling, and it makes you think of your own mortality, and it brings you down a little bit, and you got to find that way to get up, because if you're not in a positive place, I don't believe you can handle this journey. It's a very tough thing, and cancer is a very lonely thing, and you don't want to be lonely through it. Yeah. You just don't. Yeah. And I'm very lucky to have my husband with me, and he is struggling with cancer also. So, you know, we both find support in each other, and it's been easier to handle, I have to say.
So, pretty briefly, you had the bladder cancer back then, and about how long did that quote-unquote journey/experience last?
That journey was short-lived. Mm-hmm. They were able to cut out all the cancer and remove it, which was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I did not follow up with my regular checkups like they tell you to. Okay. And that's when my other colon.
So the next cancer that I saw that you had was endometrial cancer, correct?
Correct, okay. Yes.
How long after that bladder cancer, that
That was probably 7 years.
So almost 7 years you thought you're done with everything?
I thought I was all done.
Stop seeing our doctors and all that.
And then I thought I had a bleeding ulcer because I was vomiting blood and I wasn't feeling good. And one night, Mike and I weren't married at that time, and he took me to the hospital, and they kept me, and they did an ultrasound, and they found the bladder cancer.
The endometrial cancer, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. So you doubled the endometrial cancer with surgery again, correct?
Surgery again,
Did you have to do anything afterwards, like chemotherapy?
Well, I wasn't responding very well. They also took my bladder. They took a few things. I was put in a nursing home for a while.
It was your gallbladder.
My gallbladder, that's right. And then they put me in a nursing home for some time. Mm. So that was a difficult comeback. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. And then
bam, and here bam. I am.
Yeah.
With cancer again.
So when you get hit with this diagnosis, like how many years in between was that?
Now that was 2014.
Okay.
And so here we are.
So, and then this cancer you diagnosed.
It's 24.
So 10 years almost.
And my sister was with me at the time, and my husband, and we came to see Dr. Lasher, and I walked in the room, and outside her room is this little C, and it says C is for cure, and I kind of jokingly said to my sister, see, I may not have cancer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, C is for cure, too.
Yeah.
And we found out it was cancer. My sister stayed and took care of me for 2 months. And then she went home, and she got the diagnosis that she also had the same type of cancer as myself.
I didn't know that.
She passed 3 weeks later.
I'm so sorry.
It was very difficult to have my sister so close to me and then have her, you know, gone.
I'm sorry, I didn't know about that.
And to have the same cancer as me, that made me a little alarmed, you know. But she did have a tumor, and it got into her lung. And then that was it. They couldn't do any more for her.
Well, again, I'm sorry to hear about your sister. I didn't know about that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It was a tough loss, but
God
works in mysterious ways.
Yeah. So it's hard to do it, I know, to not think about her. But when you got the word that you had C-word, the cancer. Of course, we use C-word community, and Dr. Lasher had C-word cure. But when you were given that diagnosis again, 10 years later again, with cancer.
I felt discouraged. I felt like, you know, I've been trying to watch out for things, but I got busy with life and I didn't do any follow-ups. And that's what I want the listeners to do. Mm-hmm. Go follow up, do your scans and get everything so you don't get a surprise like that. It's not a surprise you want.
Yeah.
But I'm ready for the fight. I mean, I'm not giving up, believe me.
Yeah, right now, from what I see, you don't have to. Right?
So, that's right.
Dr. Lasher is doing a wonderful job.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
She is a godsend.
So, again, thinking C word as cure.
Okay.
How were you first reassured about this cancer coming back, and then how you're going to deal with it, and how Dr. Lasher kind of communicated that with you?
Well, Dr. Lasher has this kind of calming way. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, even when I felt at my worst and I'd go in and just talk with her, I had a better attitude walking out. Like, I can do this. You know, this is doable.
Yeah.
And she's built my confidence quite a bit. I'm pretty sure that I'm on the pole to recovery. I don't know if there is a total recovery, but I'm right there.
Yeah. And again, you have your husband here for support.
Yes, and he's been a godsend. And it was crazy. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed, and then to find out he had cancer, I was in shock. I couldn't believe. Lightning doesn't strike twice. It just doesn't. And then when I found out he had cancer, that took me back a little bit. But he's doing well, and he's got the right attitude, and he got it from me.
Let me turn to you real quickly, Ms. Frill. I'm not going to talk about your cancer right now. Sure. Obviously, she'd been through this journey multiple times with cancer each time, and each time it hits her hard. How does it hit you?
Well, I'm hit hard also, but I always say it's not that bad and always try to stay positive. Mm-hmm. And I go, you start getting down on yourself, then it's just going to make things worse. Mm-hmm. So we'll stay positive, we'll go through the treatments and see what happens. Mm-hmm. But if you're just giving up now, then why even do anything? So we have to have the good attitude up, and then every day I make sure that we got a good attitude going. We gotta get out of bed and make sure we got our medication taken, we get our food, and back then I was going to work every day, so I have to make sure she's getting up and getting everything ready to go. Luckily, I only work a couple minutes away, so I can come home at lunch, or I'm on the phone texting all day or talking to her. Yeah. So that way was just stay positive through all the cancers.
Yeah. And again, speaking as a caregiver to her, as you were taking care of her before you get your own diagnosis and all that, what support did you have?
Well, I had her family, her sister, her daughter. Mm-hmm. My family's always calling, by dad and my sisters, always calling to check up on Kim, especially with this lung cancer diagnosis. Before, we were kind of on our own a little bit.
Yeah, we didn't tell a lot of people.
And then now with this, we all kind of came together, and because this was... Not that I want to say the other ones were minor, because there's nothing minor when it comes to cancer or anything that with your health. And like Kim said, get your scans and follow up.
In some ways, sometimes when we have surgeries to do, it feels like there's something definite and quote-unquote easier, I guess. So I can understand what you're saying, I think. Whereas this is more open-ended. So you sounds like you've included a bigger community of family around you.
Yeah. I just found out, which I would have never known, my neighbor is a nurse, and she said, if there's anything I can do for you, and then another neighbor. You know, when you keep it quiet and to yourself, it's not helping you any. Mm-hmm. You need to let people know and grab your strength wherever you can get it. Because cancer is, it's a killer. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I refuse to let it take me. Not like this, no way. I'm a fighter.
What else brings you comfort right now? Like, what strategies do you have? To comfort yourself when you get home from treatment.
So, I have this wonderful dog who is actually, he is just my biggest support. He just lays on the couch next to me, and he knows I'm sick, and he knows when I'm sick, and he doesn't bother me, and he's just wonderful. And when Mike's not around, a dog's the thing to have.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've gotten a lot of support with family, and we kept most of the cancers to myself. But this one, we knew we couldn't. You know, stage four is one you got to share.
So sometimes when we use the word stage four, obviously that becomes more scary for people listening in on the podcast. We generally have four stages of cancer, one being, quote unquote, the earliest and smallest, and then a little bit more each time. Stage four generally means, for the listener, that cancer has spread from wherever it first started, in this case the lung, to other organs. And that's what stage four means to us as medical professionals, that it just went from one place to another. The trick is that in many cases, unlike the previous cancer where it was earlier stage and you can just cut it out and things like that, you have to remain on treatment. So it's a much more continuous kind of long-term prospect of taking care of someone or being taken care of, right? Mm-hmm. How does that concept affect you, knowing that you're going to be here for a good long time with us?
Well, it helps that you're also so kind and caring. In my opinion, this was the best place we found when I found cancer, because I found support, I found love, I found just spiritual being here. It's opened up my life differently, and I appreciate all these people that have helped me and made my day better, and I'm willing to hang with them the rest of the time.
Very good. We expect you to be around with us.
Yeah, yes, I'm going to be here
a long time, Kimberly.
Yeah.
A long time.
Yeah. I guess now that you're both on this journey together.
Yes.
Together. Yes. What do you got to do together? Dealing with the cancer and as together, instead of you just taking care of her.
Well,
now you have somebody taking care of you.
Well, it seems to go in cycles.
It does.
Where she'll be down and not feeling good, and I'm feeling okay, and then I take care of her. Mm-hmm. And then now I'm going through my chemo. So next couple days I'll be feeling pretty crummy, and she'll be up again, and she'll be taking care of me.
I'll be taking care of him.
It kind of goes back and forth.
Yeah.
And then we have our dog, of course, that takes care of both.
Right, both of you. Yes. Yeah. What's the experience for you, Mrs. O'Farrell, in now, I guess, not being the cared for, but caring for person? How does that hit you, being different?
I've always said I couldn't go on without Michael. So it was a hard hit. It emotionally took me through a roller coaster for a while. But after a couple weeks, you know, you get grounded and you look at what you got to do and you just move forward. And I am more than happy to help my husband through this journey.
You've been in the role of being cared for so long. Is there any strength or energy that comes about from being caring for somebody else?
I think really there is. I mean, sometimes when I'm not feeling the best and he's really down, mm-hmm. I pick myself up because I know this is what he needs. And he's been there for me so much, I've got to be there for him. Mm-hmm. And I think we're a good team.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, I see that.
It's all about team for us anyway.
Yeah, it's all about team.
And it was before I was diagnosed with any cancer, it was all about team before. Yeah. And it was priority number one was always Kim and getting her cancer. The original diagnosis was, for me, hearing it was pretty grim. Mm-hmm. You know, the cancer spread to her bone, and then I'm like, oh, it's in her bone, and it's in her lung, and oh, this is horrible. Which, of course, it was. And then, where did we go from there?
We went to Dr. Lasher.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I got diagnosed, and they said, oh, we're here to call an oncologist for you. You know, Dr. Lasher. I go, oh, thank goodness, I already know her. She goes, I just saw him on Friday.
Yeah.
Well, they look fine then. Yeah. But we're doing good. We have each other and the support of, like you said, of both of our families. Mm-hmm. Even our brother that we would talk to every once in a while and see him. But now he's stopping on his way from Michigan going to Florida. He stops by our house to see how we're doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's done that a couple times. And that means a lot to me, but it means the world to Kim. It's weird how, as we get older and this cancer has happened to us, how we've all kind of come together, and life is short and whatever else is going on doesn't really matter that much. And let's all come together and support our family or our loved ones.
Any other words of advice from either of you about how to deal with the diagnosis, how to deal with the journey, how to deal with your community?
I turn to the Lord first. He was the first one I talked with, and it was a difficult talk because I had to yell at myself a little bit too. This is your fault. You didn't get your scannings. You didn't. Mm-hmm. You got to get scanned. It's so important. I went through this with the support of my sister and my husband and my daughter, and I've been blessed. And now that the rest of our family have been brought into this, it's actually kind of eased my mind, and I've been a little more calm, and it's helped. It's helped quite a bit. Nothing like reaching out to the family and them reaching back.
Once you get diagnosed, you get this bad news, and it's horrible. You have to stay positive. Right off the bat, stay positive. It's not the end of the world. Think about how we're going to solve this problem instead of giving up on everything. And while you're going through it, it's not going to be easy. And just remember to keep your eye on the prize, I guess it is. It's like, just go with your treatments, do what the doctors say, and do your follow-ups and get your scans and do everything they say you're supposed to do, and everything's going to work out fine.
Yeah, I don't get these people that don't listen to you guys, because I think you guys are just the world. All you oncologists, you work so hard to help us.
And all the support we get here at the cancer place, everybody is so nice all the time. And I know you're dealing with sick people and their diagnoses aren't the best. But everybody's just so nice all the time.
Every time you come in here, it's the smiling faces and the upbeat attitude, and it always puts
from the people at the front desk, to all the nurses, you know? To all the doctors, Denise and our new friend Taylor. Everybody is so nice, and that's a big part of the support, is not just your family, but you go to some place that you trust. And now, when I got diagnosed, Kim was already been here for a year. So I know we knew all the treatment, we knew all the people here, and so we kind of knew what we were in for. So we're both doing good, and it's all about attitude and the support of your family. You know, just a simple phone call from someone you haven't talked to in a while or whatever just means the world. It's about a 5-minute phone call. Yeah. I mean, I'm hearing from people that I haven't talked to. When I was at this wedding, I was there, all these people are coming up to me that I haven't seen in 20 years, 25 years. Yeah. So, and it means a lot to both of us, to Kim and I. So,
yeah.
Well, I do appreciate you coming in. I appreciate you sharing your life with our listeners. And it's always so helpful to hear how you get through it so that other people can think through how they're going to get through it or help their loved ones, right? So we are trying to create community here. So thank you again.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank you very much.
This was fun. Good.
And so thank you again for listening to this podcast, The C Word, Community, Not Cancer. And we look forward to sharing more stories in the future.